So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people, 'Get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own.' But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, 'Remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, east of the Jordan, towards the sunrise.' Then they answered Joshua, 'Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.'"
Let's pray. Father, we ask that you'd speak to us this evening, that we would hear your word. Just pray that, Lord, you would make it really clear what you are saying to us tonight. Amen. You know, it's been quite a week of politics, hasn't it? And I think at the end of this week, you might not have expected, if you've been following all that's been going on, the outcome to be what it is. And tonight, I would like to begin with a question to you. I'd love you just to think for a moment. What do you regard are the qualities of a good leader? That's something that's being debated a lot in the last few days because of the election. But what, in your mind, make up the qualities of a good leader? Have a think for a moment. Bit of feedback. Paula, somebody with empathy. Understand? Yes.
God-fearing.
God-fearing. Good. David was going to say something.
Integrity.
Integrity. Great. Any other things? Tom?
Humble.
Humility, yeah. Fantastic.
Strong and stable.
Will I ask who she voted for? Sorry.
Someone for the many and not the few.
Oh, great. And I'm not going to talk about the DEP tonight. This little passage gives us tonight a glimpse of what the Bible says about good leadership. It's a wonderful passage, and we've started a series which we're going to carry on for some weeks, a bit in the summer, finishing off in the autumn, on Joshua's life from the book of Joshua. Tonight's reading shows us the qualities of a great leader in action. Let me just give you a little bit of background if you weren't here, and then we'll come to some of those qualities. In our reading, God gives the Israelites a second chance to enter the promised land. If you turn back a book in the Bible to Deuteronomy, the book before, under Moses' leadership, Israel stood poised to take the land God had promised them from the time they'd been released from being slaves in Egypt. But we read that they were unwilling to go because, despite what the advance party reported and the assurances of God's presence, I'm back. They were afraid and they complained. Listen to Deuteronomy verse 26. And this is the Lord speaking, or this is Moses speaking to people. "But you were unwilling to go. You rebelled against the command of the Lord. You grumbled in your tents and said, 'The Lord hates us.' So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. 'Where can we go? Our brothers have made us lose heart. They say the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large with walls up to the sky.' Then I said to you," this is Moses, "'do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God who is going before you will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. All the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, It's amazing. In spite of all that God had done for them, you did not trust in the Lord your God. So Moses is really clear because of the way the people given to fear and lack of faith. They wouldn't enter. That generation of Israel's people wouldn't enter into the promised land. But now, we're 40 years on. We've moved into the beginning of Joshua, 40 years later. Moses' successor is Joshua. Even Moses himself didn't see the promise fulfilled in his lifetime. But another opportunity comes. Here they are on the edge of the river. And Joshua says, now is the time to take hold of what God has promised. God has spoken to Joshua, calling him to lead the people into the promised land. Now was the time for the people to take hold of what was promised to them. Joshua was in no doubt. He says, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan to go in and take possession of the land. The Lord your God is giving you for your very own. So Joshua had heard God's voice and he was ready to go. He knew God would be true to his word and he called the people into action. And that's the first quality we see, I believe, in the Bible of godly leadership. Joshua seeks God. He asks God about the way ahead and then he leads the people forward. He says, let's go. God has spoken. It's clear. Now let's go. Come on, let's go with God's plan. Now it's really important to say this wasn't just an individual action on Joshua's part. It wasn't just one night he sort of woke up and thought, oh, that's a good idea. Let's go for it. He had been a close ally to Moses. He'd been like Moses' apprentice for years. He was well aware, walking with Moses, learning from him, what God had planned for the people for years since they had left Egypt. He knew the plan. He was clear on it. And now, as the new leader, it was the moment. In Exodus 33, there's a wonderful picture of how Moses sought the Lord and how he brought Joshua with him. The end of verse 11 shows us why Joshua was God's man to lead Israel on. These are wonderful. This is a wonderful verse. In verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face. Moses was the most amazing man. God would speak to him face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp. But, and listen to this, his young assistant Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. And the tent was the place where God's presence was. It was the holy, holy place. And as the covenant with Israel grew, actually only one person once a year could ever enter that place. Because of God's holiness. But Moses was granted the privilege of meeting face to face with God. And Joshua was cut from the same cloth. He loved being in the presence of God. He stayed in the tent. Moses had gone, Joshua stayed so that he could breathe in the presence of God, understand and know God. He loved to spend time with God. He wanted to know God like Moses knew him. He wanted to do what God wanted. So, Joshua, of course he could be trusted to lead God's people because his heart was so much for what God wanted. And with Moses' death, Joshua knew that this now was Israel's moment. Having spent time with God, having just loved being with God, having walked with Moses, he knew the plan and he knew now was the moment. The risks that Israel faced were no less than before. But Joshua was confident to call the people forward. God had been faithful to them before, and he would not let them down now. This evening, I believe God is calling and will call many of you here to lead people. And it might be different settings. God might be calling you at school to be a leader of others at the moment, just where you are, to set a different example to your friends, to point them to Jesus. Not to be afraid to say, you know, this is how we should be. Not to be afraid to talk to them about Jesus, to be a friend to them, to show them compassion, to pray for them. It might be in your family that God's calling you to be a leader, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, to lead a different way. You might be called into some form of ministry, but God is calling many of you here to be leaders. To be people who seek Him, who love to be with Him. That's what prayer space is about on a Monday night. Prayer space is a time, we call it that, where people can just come and spend time with Jesus for an hour. We've had some precious times on Monday nights. Really precious times. And there isn't a great agenda when we come. We worship. We seek God. We listen to what He's saying. But you know, the thing that's really precious about it is there's such a sense of the presence of God. If you haven't been in a Monday night, I would encourage you, come. It's so good when other people also want to spend time with God. What you can learn about spending time with God. And there will be risks about going God's way. It will be costly. It might mean people will push you out and not want to know you. But you know, the best thing is to live for God's best for you and your friends. There's nothing better than seeking God's best and leading others into that as well. You might feel wholly inadequate, but God wants you to listen to Him and then to lead others. That's the first thing. Joshua, he knew, because he had sought God, he spent time with God, he knew God's will, and he then acted on it. The second thing is this: Joshua had a clear plan, which he was so passionate about, that he wasn't afraid to call others into action. He wasn't afraid to say, come with me on this journey, come with me. And in this passage tonight, that second half, which is an unusual story, shows us that Joshua was fearless and really believed in his call. Let me just explain this bit of the passage to you. In verse 12 tonight, Joshua turns to these tribes. There's a tribe of Reuben, of Gad, and a section of the tribe of Manasseh, all part of Israel. And Moses had given these tribes some territory on the east side of Jordan. Now, if you know your geography, the east side of Jordan was the desert side. So these people hadn't yet crossed into the promised land. But they wanted to settle just on the east side, on a nice bit of the east side. And Moses said, that's fine, you can. With your families, you can settle on this side. So in a sense, they were already content and in their home. But Joshua challenges them out of their comfort. Although they had already received the land by the authority of Moses, Joshua says, you know, we need your help. All these people are called to cross the river and go into the land, and we need you to come as well. God has given you rest here, but we need you with us for a while. Come with us. Now, before that verse, there is no evidence that these people on the east side would go with Joshua. He didn't know if they'd go. He had no idea they would follow him. There was such a risk in him saying what he said. But he knew that he was called by God to this job. He was passionate about the task of moving into all that God had promised. And he was passionate. We're going to do this, Lord. We spent 40 years in the desert. Now we're going. We're going to do it. But he needed the help of these tribes. And so he says to them, he says, and we can read it tonight. Let me just read the verses to you. Remember the command Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of Jordan. But all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you. So he's saying, look, you find your home, but come with me and help these people find their home. And the response is amazing, because basically, the moment he spoke with courage, they recognized that he had the same authority that Moses had. They trusted him, and they answered, whatever you have commanded, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Wow. I just think that's such a picture of a God-fearing, godly leader. Having established God's will, he's passionate about it. And he's not afraid to call others who he doesn't know if they'll respond or not to come with him. And they say, yes, we will go. We will go with you. Joshua knew the plan. He cast the vision, and the people came with him. And this confidence came from knowing God and what he planned for them. When we are willing to embrace God's call on our lives, and everyone, however young or old you are tonight, God is calling you into action in some way or other. However daunting, however inadequate you feel, he's calling you. And he's saying, first of all, listen to me. Spend time in my presence. Listen to me. Learn to love being with me. Learn from other people around you in the church, those you respect, your friends. Learn from them. Let me speak to you through them. Let them minister to you. Because I'm calling you and I'm preparing you. And when you're called, the moment you're called, I will give you such a passion for that calling. And you will do things you never imagined possible. It's amazing how God envisions us. It is amazing when God puts things in our hearts. Are we then willing to go and take the risk, even though we're not sure what's ahead? As we go further into this book, we will see there are huge challenges. But Joshua led the people forward. Ellie, I'm just going to ask Ellie a few questions as I finish tonight. There are lots of amazing leaders around this church who I've met in further other communities, but I wanted to talk to one of our own about her call to leadership and about something this evening she feels very passionate about. So Ellie, first of all, I think it's true to say, Mike, when I first met you 7 years ago or so, is it about
eight now?
Is it my goodness? Yeah. Ellie, it took me a while to get to know you. Why was that, do you think, on a Sunday night?
For the first 6 weeks when I came to this church, I sat where Tom Rutter is sitting now, a bit further back, and I sat through the service, and then I made a bolt for the door at the end, and Sue got me every time, because this church has the gift of hospitality and love. And but I basically just desperately avoided community, and I was terrified, and I used to make up excuses as to why I couldn't go to the pub afterwards. I was really scared of being part of this.
Why was that, do you think?
I think a mixture of, I wasn't yet a Christian, so yeah. I think quite scared, but also I felt incredibly inadequate to just be part of this. I didn't really think that I fit, or that there was a role for me or a place for me.
Would you have imagined that if you, so I remember I talked to you in that corner just through there the first time, that would you have imagined you'd be doing what you're doing now?
No, not at all. Okay. And I did eventually stay and started to get to know people, and I started going to Live Life, which you mentioned earlier, Trevor, which used to be a kind of discipleship group that Mark and Millie kind of ran and were involved with. And I remember I'd really just become a Christian. I'd been on an Alpha weekend with them, and Mark said, Ellie, why don't you run one of our small groups? And I said, no, I can't do that. I just didn't think that I could do that. I just thought, that's for holy people. I've screwed up too much. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not someone who could do that. And actually, with gentle but firm kind of leaders, I did eventually.
What do you think's changed? Why have you changed? Because I think you're somebody now who I would say takes huge risks, and you're going to tell us about one in a moment, but you are somebody who's amazing.
I think a culmination of everything that you've just talked about, so walking alongside people who have encouraged me and who have taught me and who I've seen by their example, but I think also, I think just day by day, on a journey that's gone like that, I love the Lord more and more, and the more time I spend with him, the more I want more of him, actually. And so I trust him more than I did. So when he's called me into things, I know he's good to his word. And actually, I would rather be in the groove of where he wants me than anywhere else. And that has just happened over time, and spending time in the tent with him. So,
what about anybody who feels just like you felt tonight 8 years ago? What would you say to someone who's feeling, either because of age or maybe just for whatever reason, no way?
You're right, you can't do it, but he can. And I think it's when I'm at the end of myself that he moves. And it's so interesting, the story that I told you earlier about the woman that I spoke to this week. I love that she met Jesus, and I didn't really even realize it happened, because it's not about me. And I think the moment that you realize it's not about you, it's not about how good you are, it's not about your gifts, it's not about your skills. Are you available?
Yeah.
Are you willing? Do you love the Lord? Great, he'll use you. That's what he's looking for. He's not that interested in your behavior, or, you know, what you look like to everybody else, or whether you've got it right at the time. He just wants your heart to be for him, and he'll take care of everything else.
Fantastic. Amen. The last thing, Ellie, just briefly tell us, what's this wonderful, this mad, rich, sort of risky project that you're about to embark on?
So some of you will know about this already, but obviously over the last couple of years in our world, there we have an unprecedented humanitarian crisis involving refugees, particularly all over the world, actually, including Africa, but particularly obviously a focus on Syrian refugees. And I'm sure, like lots of people over the last sort of year, I've kind of watched the news and gone, Lord, what can I do? And have just felt stirred personally, but sort of haven't quite known. I've been praying and praying. And at the beginning of this year, I found out about something called community sponsorship, which is a home office scheme which enables churches and faith-based groups and charities to basically welcome and support and care for a refugee family for their first 2 years and help integrate them into life here in the UK. And it really does give you all the responsibility. So we have to find somewhere for them to live, and we have to find ways to teach them English and welcome them and just be their friend and help them navigate the benefit system and education, everything that it takes to kind of settle somewhere new. And we've sort of been exploring it for a couple of months, and we kind of launched it about a month ago. We had a meeting here at church, and we are going ahead. We're going to do it. And as Riverbank, but obviously that will involve some people from this church, but hopefully other churches across the area. And there's always lots of reasons not to do it. There's lots of things that are hard. There's lots of things that are complicated. And in worldly terms, there's lots of ways it could fail. But I believe that it is the heart of Jesus to welcome the stranger and the outsider and the wanderer. He's the God who says there's always enough room. And I just think if we can, we should, and we can. So that's what we're going to do. So if you would like to be part of that and haven't yet spoken to me, then please do.
Thank you, Alison. Thank you. Bless you. You see, I think the key this evening is, for me, when God takes a hold of our lives, we change. We love his presence. Ellie said that the change for her was learning, meeting Jesus and walking with him. Then you can be the person God's calling you to be. Just remember the two things. Joshua, he got close to God. He sought him for the way ahead. And then he called him into action, having spent time in the Father's presence and around others. And he had a plan. I don't know what plans, what things you're passionate about. But if there are things that you're passionate about, don't neglect them. Don't push them to one side. Let the Lord inform those things you're passionate about. Let him, you know, bring them to the front. Pray about them. Talk to some of us if you need to. Because God has plans for you. He has vision for you. And Joshua wasn't afraid to act on those passions, that plan, and to call others to join him. Let's pray. I'm just going to invite us to stand. Just a moment of quiet to respond to God's word tonight. The main thing, as I was praying beforehand this evening and a bit earlier today, was that sense that there are two groups of people tonight, and God wants to minister to you. He wants to minister to us all, but particularly perhaps to some of these folk. And just to encourage you, if you feel this rings true, just let the Lord speak to you in the quiet. I think first of all, there are those of you who feel, either because you're young or you just feel a bit inadequate, you know, like Ellie, you just want to escape sometimes because it seems this is not really for me or it's too big for me. The Lord wants to say to you, he has a plan for you. And don't let age or inadequacy, you know, I haven't got as many, I'm not as bright as so-and-so or this. Don't compare yourself to anyone. Just listen to what God's saying to you tonight. Let him speak to your heart. However young you are, however inadequate, or even if you're at the other extreme, feel, well, I'm sort of pushing on a bit age-wise. Don't let that be a barrier to God using you. Let him this evening sow passions on your heart, things you feel strongly about. When I was 21, God spoke to me very powerfully as a student about the fact that he wanted his church to be living and reflecting who he was in very tangible ways. And God spoke so powerfully about the fact that he wanted his church to grow and be renewed. And that's been a thing on my heart for years. And it ended up, what I'm doing now. And it was beginning to take that and following it through. It took some years for that to happen. But if God's speaking to you about something, don't dismiss it. The second group of people are those who have been leaders at some point. And there are people here tonight, and you've led in different ways, but you've got a bit disillusioned. It might be through a disappointment at work. It might be just through, you know, a crisis in a relationship. Maybe even you've been leading in a church context here or somewhere else, and it's not worked out as you'd hoped. And the Lord's saying to you tonight, it's not done yet. He's not done with you. There are things for you to do in his kingdom. He's calling you afresh, perhaps to be even more fruitful than you've ever been. But you've got to let him speak to you about the fact that he's still got things for you to do, and don't shut them out. Now, I don't know what that means in practice, but I think there's some of you feeling a bit disillusioned. And the Lord's saying, come out of that and let me speak to you again. And just in the quiet, listen to the voice of God and let him speak to your heart about the new things he has. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you have for us. I pray we'd be people who love your presence, love to walk with you, so that we can be the people you call us to be, passionate and bringing others to be kingdom bringers too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just sense there's also a third group, and the Lord, you just knew that bit about Joshua staying in the tent, that the Lord's calling you to stay in the tent, to spend some time with him, and that's what's going to transform your leadership.